Everyone for being with us today in our
Commissioner's Court. As we begin, do I have a volunteer that would come and open for us in prayer? Yes, Billy, oh, the gentleman right here. Come.
Yeah, join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in your name that we just glorify you. Father, we just ask that you forgive us of our sins. We are very thankful for the blessings you have given us. We pray in supplication that you just let every decision made by the court today glorify you and let it serve the citizens of Montgomery County, Texas. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. As we begin today, let the record reflect that all are present in our Commissioner's Court. Do we have approval? Do we have a motion for approval of Commissioner's Court agenda, please?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Do we have any citizens with us today that would like to make comment on either our open or our consent agenda? All right. Thank you. If there are none, County Clerk, we have minutes we see in both 8A and 8B. Do we have a motion to approve? Is there a second on both of these? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Concerning our consent agenda, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I need to move one if I could. 5A, page 7.
Okay, hold on just a second here, Commissioner. Move that to open.
Yes, please.
Okay.
I'd like to move 9Q1 on page 10 to open.
All right. Are there any other items that we want to move to the open agenda? If there are none, then do we have approval here, gentlemen, this morning to the consent agenda with modifications?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Commissioner Riley, 5A, okay. Page 7.
Consider and approve a request from Park Construction to move heavy equipment across various county roads. This is more for my information than anything else, I guess. I know there's more construction outfits and more heavy equipment being moved across county roads than Park Construction is doing. Why is it every 2 or 3 months they're the only ones on here that's asking for a permit to do this? Did anybody know why we're doing this? I know everybody should be doing it.
I said it could be because they're the only ones that are doing it the right way.
Well, we need to figure out why.
Is Jeff Johnson not here? Because from what I have been told in the past is it's regarding certain weighted vehicles that have to have this, has to go through court and be permitted this way. Not all heavy vehicles have to be, but after a certain tonnage you do. And so this company is routinely operating those types of vehicles on our roadways, and ever so often they just have to reapply for this permit.
I understand, but I know good and well there's more than Park Construction moving overweight vehicles across Montgomery County.
You mean just crossing a roadway or running down a roadway?
I think either one.
Either one of them.
Because if they're, you know, a lot of it could be track, you know, like dozers and heavy equipment with tracks on it.
No, this is,
tires.
No, this is trucks moving equipment is what this is. Across county roads, anywhere they're going. But they're not the only ones in this business, I promise you. So we need to figure out who's in that business and why we're not getting requests and permits from those guys. And is it the engineer's office that does that, or is it the permit? Who is that? Anybody know?
There's certain permits they can get that they don't have to go through Commissioner's Court.
Understand.
To get up to 84,000 pounds.
Understand.
But beyond that now, I'm not 100% sure on that. Like if it's for like bringing the windmills through, mm-hmm. and things like that would probably, that's certainly over that amount. And I'm not 100% sure.
But if the permit department issues the permit, then who are the enforcers of it? Who's going to enforce it, I guess, is the real question.
Well,
I know that some people have to have, but somebody's got to be checking on it, right? Well,
and again, I'm not trying to enforce it. I'm not trying to put anybody out of business. I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
Right.
I just want to know who all is not doing what Park Construction is doing. That's what I want to know. And if there needs to be enforcement, we got the people that can do that.
Right.
Would you like to make a motion to start a committee on that?
No, I don't want no committee. No committees.
Something to be studied for sure. Let's look into it and see what we need to do.
Whoever is getting the permit for park construction knows who they need to be talking to.
Okay.
Whoever's doing that, I'd like to hear from.
On this particular, are they here today?
I don't know. Guess not. Is it the engineer's office?
Call Jeff up here.
I'll find out.
Okay, on this particular item, do you want to defer this item or can we move forward?
I just wanted some information, so.
We can move forward with this one because I think everybody is in agreement that they're doing what they need to do, park construction is.
Okay, the commissioner has asked to defer this, so we're going to go ahead and defer. All right?
Who? No, I don't want to defer.
Want to vote on it?
No. So we got to, I'll make a motion that we approve this.
Second.
Any discussion? Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Appreciate that. 9Q1. Commissioner.
Yes, I just wanted to pull this to open and discuss it. Typically, these are on open when there's not funding available. And two, this is not something that I'm supportive of in general. Rowdy's one of the best constables out there by far. Love him to death, and I told him that I think we should. I don't need to hear from him. I just want y'all to vote and give. I just wanted to have an opportunity to vote on this separately, not in consent.
There is funding. I'm funding it. So.
Okay.
And I move.
All right. You move that to move forward on the item.
Yes.
Okay. Second. We have all in favor. Opposed.
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right, let's move forward. County Judge, consider discussing and approve resolution in support of the passage of Texas HB 6, Texas SB 7 in the 87th legislative session. As issues associated with election fraud continue to arise, they're multiplying. The tools that bad actors use, there's a plethora of them, there's a number of them. And fraud then is now shown, it becomes more obvious to us that this has taken place. Unfortunately, when we produce or when the House produces remedies for these things, we are the houses and individuals or the state or whoever's doing it is accused of voter suppression, racial discrimination. They accuse the groups that want to tighten up the rules. They accuse them of voter confusion. They accuse them of intimidation, various things like this. HB 6 by Briscoe Kane and SB 7, which has passed out of the Senate, it dispels these accusations and identifies the fraud while establishing, I think, our corrective measures. I've read both of these bills. I know what's in these bills. And as the bill says itself in its legislative intent, to reduce the likelihood of fraud in the conduct associated with Texas elections. The bottom line is that if HB 6 and SB 7 will ensure that only eligible voters will be able to vote and that their vote will be counted towards the candidate of their choice. That's the intent of it. I sent a letter in support of HB 6. I would have an SB 7, but it had already come out. And as county judge and as a former House member, I sent that, and I would urge the committee to. I've given everybody a resolution here. If anybody else would like one, I have some extras up here that you can see. It's a short resolution, but it basically says, whereas free and fair elections are the underpinnings of a stable and secure constitutional republic, and whereas fraud in elections threatens the stability and undermines the public confidence in the legitimacy of public officers by election within a constitutional republic, and whereas the 2020 election cycle brought forward serious questions surrounding the integrity and security of elections in Texas and throughout the entire United States, and whereas legislative reforms are needed to the election laws of this state to ensure that fraud does not undermine the public confidence in the electoral process, and whereas State Representative Briscoe Kane has authored House Bill 6, and State Senator Brian Hughes has authored Senate Bill 7 to prevent fraud in the conduct of elections in Texas, whereas HB 6 and HB 7 are presented in complete, will ensure full and free and fair elections in Texas. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the members of Montgomery County's Commissioners Court, do hereby encourage the members of the Montgomery County State Legislative Delegation and the members of the 87th Legislature to pass House Bill 6 and Senate Bill 7. And we'll forward a copy of this. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. All right. Consider and discuss and approve a resolution in order renewing the extending the declaration of the local disaster for another 30 days to expire on May 13th, 2021.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Amanda, budget. Proceed.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning.
It's that time again where we're going to kick off the FY 2022 budget. And so there has been a lot of already hard work that has gone into this process, but what I'd like to do is kind of go through what, again, what the responsibilities of our office were, are and were, and then also go through the budget calendar, some of the key highlights of the budget packet, and then some action from you guys.
Super.
First, just to kind of remind everyone kind of the key responsibilities of the budget office, this is just a few of many of the things that we do, but the most one of the more important ones is that we manage the resources efficiently, effectively, and equitably across the county. So that's not only for departments, but also for the citizens, so we're key in line with that. We want to communicate y'all's vision to other departments and other elected officials. Sometimes, you know, I get to be the bearer of the good news and the bearer of the bad news, and I take that responsibility very strongly. We always like to research and compile data from other entities, including citizen participation and any updates to the requirements by statute. And then, as you know, with INFOR, we've assisted a lot of departments in their financial reporting and continuing to improve on that as well. For the state of the county, I kind of like to start with the financial aspect. Of course, we know the fund balance increased at the end of last year. But for budget purposes, we will adopt a balanced budget, and the budget office will never recommend to use the use of fund balance to balance a budget. And last year, that was something that the court entertained. That recommendation will not come from me or Rakesh. That is something that the court can come up with on their own. The population for Montgomery County increased about roughly 25,000 people from last year about the same time. We are expecting these 2020 preliminary census numbers to come out May 4th, so that'll give us a really good idea as to kind of where we're at in the county. I do expect that the numbers to actually be higher than the estimates. I think it will be closer probably to the 650 number if just based on reasonability.
Closer to 700.
Yeah, probably even more. So the unemployment, you remember at this time, last year, we were just at the beginning of really the effectiveness, the effect of COVID. Right now, we're still not 100% back to where we were, but these kind of unemployment numbers will show you that we are getting closer to getting there. So the national unemployment rate as of March 2021 is 6%, compared to 4.4% in March and 14.8% in April. You can tell that's the April and May were the highest months on the national averages. Texas unemployment rate right now is 6.9%, and that's comparing again to 3.7% in February and 12.9% in April of 2020. Regional unemployment, which is Houston, the Woodlands, Sugar Land, some of our surrounding counties, that's 8.4% through February of 2021. Montgomery County as a whole is a little bit less than that at 7.8% for February 2021, and these are all statistics that come from the Bureau of Labor and also Texas Workforce Commission. For voters, I thought this was kind of an interesting statistic. We have about 65,000 more voters that voted in this last election than you'd have in prior elections, representing about 73% of the registered voters. Changes in the budget process. Each year, as you guys know, we select a few accounts to do a zero-based budgeting on. Some departments do go ahead and zero-base all of their accounts. We don't ask departments to do every single account. What we instead do is we pick three or four accounts each year, and by the time you hit a 5 or 6 year cycle, you should hit most of your departments have gone through a zero-based budget cycle in those 5 to 6 years. Excel spreadsheets will be used for the budget entry, so it's going to be very similar to the budget process that we had last year. We'll send out Excel spreadsheets, departments will fill out those sheets, return them back to us, then we will load all of that data into INFOR. We do expect this to be a lean budget year. New personnel requests will go through a comprehensive vetting process. Just because you asked for a position doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get it. There will be an extreme vetting process that DOTI, our team, and again with the commissioner's court, goes through it through that as well. We're asking that operating increases be targeted for contract and statute changes. Anything else, we do want justification on those changes. And then all capital requests, as usual, will be prioritized against other departments. Departments are competing for, you know, capital money, and so I encourage everyone to bring their best business case. The Senate Bill 2 requirements continue. There are a couple of changes on the reporting side that we have to do this year that we are working with Tammy's office on. And then again, the budget request for any COVID-19 related items, we are asking for those to be presented separately. So if you're continuing to need any mask or gloves or any of that, then please put that outside of your budget, your normal budget. The first thing that we are doing is we're going to send out budget packets to department heads and elected officials this week. We are going to start out with law enforcement departments today. They'll get their packets today, following that with elected officials tomorrow. And then Thursday, we're expecting to get department heads, and then the Friday, and everybody else. Department meetings, if you are wanting a meeting with myself or Jody, we are doing those meetings April 21st to May 31st, so that if you have any budget meetings for departments or you guys yourselves want to have those meetings, then we're open to doing those. The budget spreadsheets, so budgets are due back to the budget office by the end of the day, June 1st. And we are going to hold people's, if we don't get packets those days, we are going to start making phone calls, because we do need as much time to work on it as we possibly can. We expect the preliminary budgets to be sent out back to departments with the budget office recommendations July 1st and July 2nd. And then we will present our first version of our budget to you guys on July 13th. It's a regular scheduled commissioner's court. Budget workshop week, we still have it scheduled the last week in July. Tammy's going to have a little bit more time to compile some numbers for us this year. And then we will file a proposed budget with the county clerk on August 11th. We'll have our official public hearing on the budget and the tax rates August 20th, and then we anticipate adopting the budget August 20th. So that gives us plenty of time to get our budget ready to go for the October 1st. We do have some items for you guys to determine. The one thing that we do, you know, always ask you guys is if you have a budget message that you want to share with you know, department heads or elected officials. I have talked with Rakesh this year. We do want to do a comprehensive fee schedule. So what we're asking is, as part of the second half of the budget cycle, is we're going to ask departments to turn in all of their fees that they charge. And we have a comprehensive fee schedule that we'll have the commissioner's court adopt. What we realized is there are some fees that you guys need to adopt on an annual basis, and we want to make sure that you guys are fulfilling that requirement. And the third thing that normally at this time, I also have you guys go ahead and approve a budget policy. I'm going to ask you to wait and kind of think about the budget policy and maybe any kind of changes that you guys want to make to that budget policy. As we go through the budget workshop, if there's things that we want to change to that budget policy, I think that is a great time to talk about that and kind of discuss changes to the budget policy. If you remember, one of the big changes that we made this year was with the resolution and order on the elected officials and the 5% raise that they could give if it was in their budget. So that's something that we need to consider and think about over the next couple of months. And if that's something we want to continue to do, change, whatever, we need to talk about that during budget workshop so I can bring you an official policy back in August for you guys to approve. The next thing, just to remind everybody, there is plenty of opportunity for citizens to give their input on the budget. They can always email myself, and I take those comments very strongly. We are also, they have a couple of opportunities in person. We're going to have a citizen piece on the July 27th, the first day of the budget workshop, again on August 21st, which is the public hearing. And then, of course, if there's any type of citizens academies that departments are doing, I'm willing to go to those and kind of talk to citizens there as well. I'm also available by phone. And let's see. So did the Commissioner's Court have any questions or comments about the packet? You want to say any budget message, anything like that that we want to give out? Otherwise, we are planning on sending those packets out today.
What was that, Citizens Academy? What was that? Go back to that.
Yes, so like the Sheriff's Office, they have a Citizens Academy. I think some of the Constable's offices do as well. If they're wanting somebody from the budget office to be there, we can be there to kind of help answer any questions, go through the budget cycle with citizens. Any of that, we're willing to do as that as well.
If we may, because we do want to entertain a motion on this, Commissioner Nowak in Precinct 3 has an item as well, and it's an item A. It's in 14A4, consider, discuss, take appropriate action on directives regarding the Montgomery County 2022 budget year. So we kind of killed two birds with one stone here on this. I know that Commissioner Nowak, you've got some things that you wanted to bring up concerning this.
Yes.
And any others that you want to bring up, now's our chance to make these considerations,
and
if you would, please.
Yes, and I'd also like to consider item number 3 at the same time, to consider, discuss,
yes,
the most recent,
yes,
MCAT appraisals and,
yep,
its effect on the budget and tax rate.
Yeah.
So this...
start with number 3.
This past... Okay. I will.
Yeah,
kind of,
yeah,
time together, but over the last year... COVID it's affected people and it's affected the markets and it's affected things in so many different ways. And some ways, it's been really devastating for a lot of people and families and businesses. And the effects of governmental intervention really drove down interest rates. We pumped a lot of money out there. We're doing a lot of things to try to spur the economy, and the real negative impact of these low interest rates have been this housing market explosion. And as you know, there's very few homes on the market. When a home gets on the market, it's a super competitive process.
The bidding war.
Exactly. And that puts our citizens in a really bad spot. And the appraisal district doesn't look like they missed a beat. And people this year, they're getting their appraisal notices, and it's probably been a week, right? Well, 10 days to 2 weeks now that they've been coming in the mail. And I don't think I've ever had more people comment to me through social media or, through phone calls or just out in the neighborhood about, being so disheartened with how much of an increase they've had in their home. And this court doesn't have anything to do with setting the appraised values of homes, and I want to make sure that people really understand that. And the legislature has, continued to try to bring about some property tax relief. But the situation that is occurring now are those families who sold their home. They may have made top dollar, but unfortunately, everyone who is staying in their home is going to be taxed at top taxed at top dollar. And I think we as a court need to send a message to the budget office and to, the taxpayers that we are going to take action. We're going to do as much as we possibly can to mitigate the impact of the increase in appraised values. And instead of waiting until, the last day of the budget hearings to, make a determination on what we want to do as a body, I think we owe it to Amanda and to her staff and to all of the elected officials and department heads to kind of tell them now or very soon that, we want to go with this for a tax rate, be it the effective tax rate or now the,
no new revenue rate,
below that rate. We know the exact amount of revenue that we collected last year. We know, how we have a pretty good idea of what we're going to need based on what has already been spent. But I also think we need to, as a court, anytime we approve things that are outside that budget cycle, it's going to come back and bite us, and we're going to have to pay for that next year. And so, Amanda, next court, I'd like for you to bring a list of everything this court has approved that was not approved during the budget, and how much it is and how much we're going to have to increase next year's budget because of that. So kind of a long-winded story, I guess, but I think our citizens are, they're going to get penalized for the irrational exuberance in the housing market, and I think we as a body need to try to mitigate that the best we can by either adopting the no new revenue rate or below for the upcoming budget year.
I think we're a little early to be even talking about the no revenue rate or the budget. What I would like to do is go back and make a motion on her presentation, and I move that we accept that presentation.
I second.
All right, is there any discussion? What we did was we do want to accept her presentation.
I want to do these separately. I want to do them all separate.
Okay, we have a motion to do it separately. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I want to make
a motion. Okay. There's a motion on the table to do it separately. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I would oppose that. I think that we're in good shape where we are, but Commissioner, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. And again.
So your motion is approved, and then let's move on the let's move forward on the agenda, and then we'll come back, Commissioner, to your item.
Yeah, and so really for me on three, you know, anybody that has a comment obviously is willing, you can say whatever you'd like. But on four, I think we do need to provide direction. That's the whole purpose of having a budget office. And without clear and concise directions, you know, they're going to spend a lot of time and energy needlessly entertaining things that, you know, the court
sure
may not have any interest in paying for. So,
and I understand it, but I just don't see how we can sit here and say we want to adopt the no new revenue rate right now. I don't know how we do that.
I
agree with you, Commissioner Riley.
Too way too early.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Last year, Commissioner Riley and I were ones to go below the rate. I don't know where it needs to be at. I don't have any numbers or haven't seen any numbers from Tammy or anyone else to give us an idea. I mean, I'm kind of like him. I got a feeling of I can see what's happening over there and the amount of people moving here, the new homes coming in, the subdivision in all parts of the county. But I don't have the numbers or information to come up with doing the effective tax rate. We've been at or below the effective tax rate the last 2 years for sure, and we'll probably do that again this year.
I think it gives our department heads and elected officials an idea of, look, you know, I don't need to go through and ask for the moon when we're not going to give them much of anything. And we know the information from the appraisal district, I mean, everybody's appraised values have come in. Preliminary numbers are, I mean, we are going to be at double digit or right there near double digits. Sure. And I'm confident in that statement.
What last year, what they presented was the budget at the de minimis rate, the no new revenue rate, and the voter approved rate. We looked at all three of those. And as we move forward, I would like to see us, and I would entertain a motion to approve that the budget office move forward on developing a budget, at least starting at the no new revenue rate, and but also giving us some options.
Do you have
if
the
we
no
need
new
to
revenue
go
rate
above or below once you get that information?
Yeah, so I understand what
Pardon
you're saying.
Me. Sorry, folks.
And so, just so you know, Judge, last year, and I'm willing to do whatever the court,
sure,
you know, is wanting me to do. Last year, it was pretty late that we got those rates. Rakesh and I were kind of brainstorming what our options were at that point.
I remember.
But what we can do is, I mean, because we expect an estimate from Tammy, but that might not be until, you know, July 1st, which is really kind of late for us to start, you know, building a budget. But what we can do is we can kind of look at some, you know, some estimates between our offices and see, you know, what kind of rates we expect to come. I mean, we'll be just kind of guessing, but.
And we, Judge, you know, we
recognize there are options that we want to see. We all want to see options. Go ahead.
I think that, you know, the concept, I don't care if we call it the no new revenue rate. The concept is I don't think you should not increase the budget year over year. So I think a better way of saying it is keep the budget the same as it was last year. As you go through this year, we'll set the tax rate, you know, wherever we need to accommodate that. But the point is I don't think we should grow the budget this year because of the situation that our taxpayers are in. That's where I sit on it.
Okay, so, can I make a motion to that effect?
I would like to make a motion to that effect.
It's too early to do that.
Make a motion.
Okay, he can make the motion. Go ahead, you make
that
motion?
That would be the motion to give the budget office direction to basically, at a minimum, keep the budget the same as it was last year.
All right, do we have a second? And I'll offer a second on that. All right, as we move forward then, is there any more discussion?
It's too early to be doing this. It's too early to be talking about leaving. I agree. I wanted to do that last year, leave the budget like it was, just get us to where we were. It's too early to be doing this. You don't have any idea yet what the effective tax rate or no new revenue tax rate is going to be. We don't know what the revenues are going to be. We all think we know what they're going to be, but we don't know. I think Amanda was hired to be the budget director to do the job she's been doing. I think she's done a great job. We need to let her continue doing what she's doing, bring it to us, and we discuss it up here during our budget workshop. That's when we should be doing this, not right now. Would I want to keep it at the same rate, budget? I would, but it may not be possible. And I don't want to get into the bind where we do that right now.
Well, here's, we're asking, but Commissioner, forgive me. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, with all due respect, I mean, when any time you, I mean, we have a $335 million budget, and you can't wait until, you know, you can't, there's just a better way to go about setting expectations and planning than trying to cram it in 1 week. And I think it is a much better practice to give the budget office direction and say, this is where we are headed.
Well,
I've never worked at a corporation in my life that says it's too early to start budgeting.
I talk to Amanda throughout the year. I mean, we all do. It's not waiting for the 1 week. That's not how we do things.
Yeah, and I mean, she's looking at 700,000 somewhere around in our population. Where that comes, we don't know what law enforcement needs. I'm comfortable that from what I've heard from a number from judges, from Constable Cash and others, that he's going to have help up there just in the mental health cases because of COVID. And I don't know where he may need one deputy, no deputies, or a number of deputies to help him with that. And Constable Hayden is. Golly, the DWIs, with all the things that our district attorney has done to try to curtail DWIs. How many last week, Rowdy? How many did y'all do last week? 15, 17?
Yeah.
And along some of those were repeat offenders. You know, whose life did you save this past week from doing that? I don't know what yet, what his requirements are going to be, if any, but absolutely, I wouldn't encourage anybody to shoot for the moon or go out of line. But again, you got to have the tools you need with the amount of people that are moving here. Law enforcement is definitely something that I think we're going to have to consider.
And I think all of us would agree with that, Commissioner. I think you're absolutely right. I think what Amanda's asking for is, look, she's saying, I need some guidance here on the direction that we're going to head. And what are some of the parameters? Obviously, that we're going to look at different options, just like we did last year. Remember, we came in at no new revenue rate, and then it was voted under the no new revenue rate. So we look at options and make changes along the way. I think what the commissioner is asking for is that we, and correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, is that we take into consideration what's going on in the economy, what's going on in housing, and that we shoot for this, and that we shoot for the no new revenue rate is what he's basically asking. And then we look at options along the way once we're there. And I've seconded that motion.
Summarized it very well.
And
I got another question.
I think there are some options that could be presented along the way as well. It doesn't preclude that we look at other things. That's all. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Amanda, do you get directives throughout the year? Do you ask questions of us throughout the year?
Yes, I do.
Okay. There's your answer right there.
And I think she's quite capable of what she does to make those decisions. We're trying to send a message to the people in Montgomery County that we don't want to rate, you know, appraisals are out of sight. Home building, it's ridiculous. But so we have to be careful with what we do.
So some of the
Commissioner Nowak is presenting that we start. We have
but
a starting point.
We're asking her to guess on a lot of things.
No. She's
asked. Want to guess.
She's asked us for guidance, Commissioner.
Yeah.
Well, did you ask for the guidance?
Let me just make sure that you guys. Let me kind of make sure that you guys know kind of what our office does, because maybe that will help you. So when departments turn in their budget requests, we thoroughly look at them. We do a trend analysis to see kind of what has been spent in the past. If they're asking for a new request, we actually work with purchasing to get quotes so that their requests are actually reasonable, that they're not have pie in the sky numbers, because sometimes those happen. You know, there are pie in the sky numbers. The third thing that we do is we look at contracts and see if there's a different way that we can do it. Is there a contract in the county that could save us, or is it possible, hey, multiple departments are asking for the same thing, could we get a better price if we do some bulk pricing? So a lot of that is part of the strategy of the budget. It's not just saying yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. We actually look at ways of how to say, look, you didn't really spend this last year, so maybe you have $1,500 savings here. You're asking for something that's $3,000. Instead of giving you the $3,000, hey, if we give you an additional $800, do you think you can make it work? And so a lot of those conversations is what the budget office has. We are kind of, I mean, I don't want to use it this way, but it is kind of the negotiation point for you guys. We take their request, we kind of vet those requests to say, oh yeah, these are completely not going to happen, or hey, you have a good chance. You know, this you're look. It looks like your, you know, arrests are up. It looks like your DWI numbers are up. It looks like this. So hey, look, you know, maybe if you get a person, can you bring your comp time numbers down? We do a lot of that negotiation as well. So there is more than just, you know, saying yes or no. And so the reason I kind of want to be just a little bit hesitant of saying do the same budget as you did last year. You have a lot of departments that are supporting law enforcement departments as well that have not had any increases in a long time, have actually cut their budgets year after year since I've been here. And some of those departments are hurting, and they're saying, hey, look, we have, you know, a lot more filings than we did 3 years ago when you came in.
Amanda, the point is the court sets the tone.
Absolutely.
And so what I'm trying to say is, will you go and open your presentation up and
sure.
Go to slide 6? I just want to be clear that... That you specifically
yes,
were seeking
a budget
Commissioner's
message.
Court budget message.
Yes.
So she was indeed asking for that.
I wrote it down, budget message. That's all we're trying to do here. Nothing's absolute.
Correct.
Prior to me coming on board here, I give credit to the past administrations, and now since we've been here, I think we've worked hard and will continue to do so to provide the highest level of service at the lowest possible cost. I don't think there's anything at all wrong with that message from any of us. And I don't see any reason that we won't continue to do that. I think you've worked hard, Amanda, in putting those together with the help of others. And always been certainly helpful for us over there to help us get to meet our goals to the taxpayers and also provide the service that they demand, that they're paying for.
I am a citizen of Montgomery County, taxpaying citizen. You know, I care just as much as you guys do about lowering the tax rate, you know, making sure that we are running the best, clean, lean budget that we possibly can. And that's what we target for every year. We don't need a message on necessarily, hey, you know, we want you to keep an eye on the budget. We're doing that. Like, we are making sure that departments are using their resources responsibly, that they're doing what they told us that they would do during the budget cycle. That's part of it. Now, I think, you know, the feedback is good. I can appreciate every single feedback that we get. The fact that we kind of know going in as to where the commissioner's court stands, actually,
but if
kind
you
of
have a good
all,
idea, if you knew where we were all at in a unified statement, it would make your job easier.
You know, and, you know, last
of
year,
course.
When
okay.
it was
yeah.
presented,
that's the
yeah.
point.
I mean,
when it was presented to me last year, Amanda, you had come to me and we talked, and you said you were calculating at the de minimis rate.
That's
yeah. Well, no, that's exactly what happened. It did.
Judge,
I was there,
I mean,
you were there, Tammy was there, Jason was there, we were all there. You gave me a de minimis rate and said you believe that's where we needed to be. And we ended up below the no new revenue rate or the effective tax rate. If you're being intellectually honest, that's where we were.
I don't think there's no way you can come up with that at this
and
time.
And the result of that was anyway, we ended up, we formulated, and we changed. But you had a message anyway of where we needed to be, and you're asking for that message. Commissioner Nowak has brought about, hey, we don't want to raise taxes if it's possible. And I would say we can amend that message to say that we provide the highest possible service for the least amount of cost, as Commissioner Metz has said. That's in our goal. So there's you asked for the message. Now, what we could do is we could take that Commissioner's Court budget message off of there, and we don't send any message at all, and let
no,
the chips fall where they fall. But, you know, we're just not ready to do it yet, is what the commissioner said.
I got a message. Go do your job, Amanda, like you're hired to do. And if you got questions, call somebody, and then we'll work this out. We'll get it all put together. Do your job like you're hired to do.
Okay.
We
have a motion on the table, and we have a second.
What's the motion?
The motion is that we accept that the message is going to be within the parameters of the no new revenue rate. Is that right, Commissioner?
The well,
so that we don't increase taxes from last
same
year.
Budget.
We don't keep the same budget.
Keep the same budget. And I seconded that motion.
Not grow the budget.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Say that again.
Not grow the budget.
So we made a motion to not grow the budget from last year. We have a second on that.
Commissioner Nowak made the motion.
Yes, that's correct.
And
I
you seconded,
seconded
it. Judge.
I seconded it. Okay. Is there any more discussion? We already know what we've been talking on here for a while. If there is no more discussion, let's take the vote. All in favor of adopting Commissioner Nowak's
motion.
Aye. I think I have the best place for aye, too. All in favor of Commissioner Nowak's motion? Aye. All those opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Okay, three opposed. Then let's move forward.
So Judge, one thing I am going to do is I want to hear from our taxpayers. So I want our taxpayers that have suffered and what I want to hear people come in and tell us what their home was appraised at and what it is appraised at this next year and what it means to them, you know, just how they feel about the appraisal and how it's going to affect them and make how hard it is for them to make.
I think we all understand that, but if they want to talk to somebody, they need to be talking to the folks in Austin who are telling the appraisal district how to appraise property. That's who they need to be talking to.
But the rubber meets the road here. We are the body that sets the tax rate.
I understand.
We control it 100%.
And it's too early to be talking about setting the tax rate right now.
I disagree. I don't think it's ever too early to plan, but
lowered it the last 2 years.
Lowered it since I've been here, 6 out of 8 years, I think, and at least 10%. But if we don't send a message clearly that that's what we want to do, I think it's a problem. But
to work for the people in this community. I mean, and to do the best job we can with this tax rate. I mean, and appraisals are high. Everything is out of sight. And I want people in Precinct 1 to have the best tax rate, too. But we can't, I mean... You know, it's just a few months off, but the message should be that we're trying to keep things. I guarantee you
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And everybody here is fiscally responsible. We're all going to try and do that. The point is that we believe that Amanda was wanting some direction. I'm in agreement with the commissioner that we start there. And as we move along, just like we did last year, we started at a de minimis rate. We ended up at the no new revenue rate. And then we ended up below the no new revenue rate, which really benefited the taxpayers. And so we're all in agreement on that perspective, whether or not we move forward with an actual message here. Amanda, in terms of, you know, where a few of us are standing and where the others are as it relates to a message. But the other side of that is all of us want to provide the best amount of service for the least amount of money without sacrificing any of the services we already have. Would everybody agree with that? I'm not asking a rope, but we would all agree with that, correct?
I think so.
I bet if I asked for a show of hands out in the audience, everybody would go, yeah, we agree. Best service, lowest amount of money. Would you all agree with that? Of course you would. So it's we're on the same page here.
And you'll do a great job, Amanda, I promise
absolutely.
You. And we're here to
always do. Thank
with
you.
With that sure. in mind. Thank
Judge,
you, Amanda.
Just to clarify the minutes for the county clerk, can we amend Commissioner Riley's motion to include approval of 11A? It's just the actual, as opposed to acceptance of the presentation, just to accept the budget packet, including the budget calendar.
Yes. Yes. We have a motion. Is there a second on that?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
I'm going to oppose it with you this time, but just because of the fact that she was asking for a statement and we didn't give her one, so...
I'm sorry, I'm sorry?
I said that I was going to go ahead and oppose it this time just because she asked on slide 6 for a statement from the court and we didn't give her one, so.
I would oppose it as well.
Got it.
All right. Let's move forward. Emergency management, consider discuss take appropriate action if necessary regarding, give us an update on what's going on with vaccines. Jason.
Morning, Judge Commissioners. As you know, last Friday we celebrated at the Vaccine Hub hitting the 100,000 doses administered since we moved on to the Wood Forest Stadium site. Judge Keogh provided lunch for everybody, and Constable Cash's crew cooked overnight Thursday and all day Friday for the crew, delivered some excellent barbecue. Everybody is very happy. Things are moving very smooth there. We've got our traffic patterns under control. We did have one snafu after last court that next morning, actually. Talked to Commissioner Nowak the next morning after that. And that was the day after the governor announced everybody was open to having a shot, so they just kind of rushed us. But since then, we've got everything back under control. It runs smooth. We have our little early morning rush as the eager beavers show up. But other than that, it stays contained.
So no traffic on the service roads, no traffic on David Memorial, no
traffic.
Oh, it's
been awesome.
I get a little bit of traffic on the David Memorial, but we're coming in from the north side off of Shenandoah Park Drive, where the roundabout is.
Yeah.
Very rarely do I even back up to the roundabout, because we're able to put about 400 cars from our gate to our first registration tent stacked in there if we have to. With Shenandoah PD's assistance, we have one lane dedicated for turn in to the vaccine hub, and the other one's for through traffic. In the event that I get backed up past the roundabout, the emergency procedure is we move to two lanes turn in. So we pull everybody into the two lanes and get rid of the through traffic lane. And that pulls everybody off the service road and out of the roundabout and onto David Memorial out of traffic. We've only had to do that once since we come up with that plan. And that was the same day I talked to Commissioner Nowak. It was about 2 weeks ago tomorrow, or 3 weeks ago tomorrow, when that announcement was made. Outside of that, very rarely do we have traffic outside of the gate, because we've efficiently moved that. We have found that if I run two providers in one day, I can hit 5,000, or I can run one provider that day and still hit 5,000. So without having two providers there to clog things up, and having two different, each provider has a different registration procedure and process, it slows things down. We've been running one provider each day at the site and scheduling 6 days a week.
What's the times again?
Depends on the provider. Yesterday was Public Health. Public Health does the fewest of them all. They ran from 10 to 5 yesterday, and we were on site from 8 to 6. This morning, Lone Star's there. We'll be there probably till 7 tonight, and they open the gates this morning at 8 o'clock. So.
Jason, y'all are doing a great job. You really are.
Thank you. Awesome. Yeah, it's running really well.
How many are you
going
to do today, Jason?
The goal is to do 4,500 today. That's what's on the table, 3,500 first dose or second doses and 1,000 first doses. We'll probably pull in more than that as we start seeing no-show rates happen, and it's open for registration right now. So
maybe you've already said it, but if you wouldn't mind repeating it, what's the total amount of vaccines we've distributed so far?
Well, at that site, we're a little over 100,000. We're like 100 and get shy of 110,000 on that site alone. But countywide, we've done 217,700 doses countywide with all providers. And that includes what we did at the fairgrounds and at the airport location prior to consolidating and moving.
That's so both doses or?
That's total. So it includes first and second doses. So as far as percentages go, in the 65 and up category, we're just shy of 50% fully vaccinated in the county, population-wise. We've about 73% of that population group have their first dose in the arm. 65 and up, and about 50%, just shy of 50%, have received their second dose. We have seen some people coming only for one dose now, as Johnson & Johnson and others have come out, and they're a one-dose shot. Folks have been asking their doctor, do I have to take that second dose? And we've seen some people not show up for that second dose. However, in the older categories, from about 55 and up, it's almost 100% come back for that second dose.
What happens if they don't take the second dose? They're not fully vaccinated. Are they protected?
Well, I'm not a medical doctor, but just what I'm going to read, the efficiency of the first dose is about 50 to 60%. So you do get some level of immunity there, but it's not at 100%. With Pfizer and Moderna, they're designed to be a one- and two-dose shot course. But I've had personal friends, if their doctors recommended only the one shot of Pfizer and not both, based on their personal immunosystems and stuff.
System.
But, yeah. So with Johnson & Johnson, which got put on pause this morning, none of us, we don't use it at any of our locations.
Good. Next question.
Yeah, it is on pause. I don't know if the state is pausing. I know the feds paused it at their locations and are asking the states to pause. We don't use Johnson & Johnson at any of our locations that we run, so it won't affect our operations.
There's Moderna and Pfizer.
Moderna and Pfizer, yes, that's correct. So as far as, I don't need any action unless you guys wanted to take action on something that I'm unaware of, but I'm not seeking action on item A.
Just a report? Okay.
Just a report, yes, sir.
All right, item B.
Item B is to consider and take appropriate action authorizing additional overtime funds for county law enforcement officers that work at that site. I have been coming to the court every couple of weeks for about $50,000 at a time. When we did a gender review last week, Rakesh told me that we're already exceeding what we've been authorized. So if I was asked for $50,000 this time, I would be very short. I have to come back next court and ask for funds more. That's why the number went up to $100,000. Make sure we can cover all of those payroll expenses that are fixing to be incurred and paid, plus future overtime for that site.
All right. Do we have a motion to that? Is there a second?
Okay, the funding source has been traditionally fund balance.
Fund balance.
Is that fine with you, Commissioner?
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Item C is a late request. I had a city come to me right after the first of the year, the new year, and they had failed to respond to our request last year to have funds that they had expended out of local funds for COVID-related expenses reimbursed by the CARES Act last year. It was a glitch. We showed them where we had sent the request to them two times. Unfortunately, the elected official we sent that to had an email system that was not functioning, and they did not get that message. So after that request came in, got with the auditor, and the auditor and I agreed not to spend any time auditing those receipts and expenditures that they've turned into us until the court decided whether we were going to honor that late request and reimburse them or not. So if we were to honor it and reimburse them, it's the city of Montgomery, and their request in aggregate without any auditing and reductions due to non-allowable expenses is about $75,000. Just at my glance at some of the expenditures, it would not be allowed, not all of them. So I'm confident that if the court approved, that number would come in under 75K. However, if you do not want to participate, I would inform the city that at this time they're not eligible for reimbursement.
I make a motion that we reject their request.
What did we do on other cities?
We reimbursed every. We had two cities that did not participate in that, and that was the city of Willis, the city of Montgomery. We reimbursed everyone's allowable expenses under the CARES Act.
By charge from Willis?
How many cities are in that situation right now?
So it included Conroe, Patton Village, Wood Branch, Magnolia.
That we reimbursed.
Even the Woodlands Township, which is in a city, was included in that. City of Cut and Shoot. Everyone was allowed to participate. Most of them had little expenses.
Why don't we audit what you got, then bring this back, see whether we want to approve it or not?
I could do that. I mean, that even if you want to entertain that, I just, as the auditor's office, it's a lot of work to go through that.
I understand, but yeah. I mean, again,
if you're interested in seeing what it would be at audited expense.
But you already said some of you looked at it won't cover, so let's find out what it will and what it won't, then bring that number back,
okay,
and we'll decide.
Okay, I can do that.
I think that's how we need to do that.
Let's defer that, and Rakesh, if you do the audit on it, bring it to us.
Okay.
All right?
Perfect.
Proceed.
Item D is very similar to item B. As we continue with the vaccine sites, we have a number of providers on site, not just providers, but staffing from various agencies across the county that are assisting there. Montgomery County Hospital District and the City of Conroe currently have interlocal agreements that the court has already approved. I'm asking today to increase the not-to-exceed amounts in those interlocal agreements as we are approaching the limits of those agreements, and both of these agencies are instrumental to us continuing operation there.
Move.
Second.
Funding source to still be fund balance?
Fund balance.
Yep. Yeah. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, guys.
The next item on the agenda, item 13A, I'd like to move to executive session on that, if we could, please. And while we're in there, we'll cover our executive item as well. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. So if we could, please, let's go to executive session on this. It won't take long. All right. Can we do that, gentlemen? We're good?
Yep.
All right. If you'll excuse you all for waiting, we're going to resume our Commissioner's Court. We were on item 13A, and at this point, we're not going to take any action on that. There's still work to do. And we're moving to the commissioners, item number 14. We've already covered A, 3, and 4. So we're going to go back, Commissioner Nowak, and cover A, 1, and 2 under you. So proceed, if you would, please.
Consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on the creation of a towing advisory board. During some of the conversations regarding the towing ordinance, it was recommended that the court create a commission or a board. And so the folks in South County are so excited about this that Amy Milstead has gotten all of the representatives that tow in the South together, and they nominated Amy Milstead and Joe Kearns to be the representatives for Precinct 3. So I just wanted to kick this off and thank them for all their help. And so I guess, one, let's take action. I move that we take action on the creation of an advisory board for A.
And we have a motion to that effect.
Commissioner, you want to say how many members would that would...
The recommendation was two from each...
Per precinct. Okay.
Okay, create the board first. So I move.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Got it.
Amy, can we add anybody besides what Commissioner, we've not noticed anybody else. We do it next round?
Right. Commissioner can go ahead and do the appointment. And if you have other names, you can discuss, and then we'll bring him back on the next court on the consent agenda if you'd like.
Perfect.
Okay, we still need to, some of the guys probably still need to come up with some names.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are my two. And just to be clear, one is with Milstead Towing, the other is with Quick Tow Wrecker Service.
Okay, do you make a motion?
I move that we accept those two nominations.
Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
And then
let's move on to
Commissioner Metz wanted to at least name his people.
Oh, we're going to do that. No, she just said we would discuss it now and then come
right,
since
you can
it's not noticed.
Discuss it and then we'll bring it back on consent on the next agenda to make a formal appointment if you want.
Yes, it's Dalton Knox and David Knox would be the two from East County.
I'll bring mine back next court.
Dalton and
Dalton Knox and David Knox.
Make an item on the agenda next time and include those guys. And if there's any
and then Commissioner Riley is going to bring their
I'll bring mine next time.
Okay.
And I have the name of their company. I know one of them, Saddle Creek, but I don't know what Dalton calls you.
Okay.
Whew. All right.
Very good. Thank you. Well, let's move on. Public hearing. We're going to temporarily convene to public hearings. Amy?
I have a lot of public hearings today.
Oh, Lord.
So,
yes.
Please bear with me.
And we do have to read everyone
and we
separately?
Have to, yes, it's a public hearing, so they need to be taken individually. Right. And if you are here to speak on any of these, please let me know. The first one was inadvertently assigned to Precinct 2, but the plat should be assigned to Precinct 1. It's considered the partial replat of Phase 1 Blue Jack National and partial replat of Reserve W Blue Jack National Phase 1A, partial replat number 1, to be known as Blue Jack National Phase 1B replat number 1. The proposed application was, or the purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create a Reserve D, abandon a 26-foot public utility easement, and reconfigure lots 13 and 14, Block 2 of Phase 1B. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing, and we did mail notice to the HOA. It is submitted for your approval under Agenda Item 16A. Is anybody here to speak about it? The second one is a proposed application for a partial replat of lots 68, 69, and 70, Block 1 of Crown Ranch Section 1, amending plat number 1, to be known as Crown Ranch Section 1, amending plat number 1 partial replat. The purpose is to create two lots from three separate residential lots. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. A notice was mailed to the HOA. The plat is not ready and may be submitted by the county engineer for approval at a future date. But is anybody here to speak about it? The third one on item 15A3, consider the replat of lots 38, 39, and lot 40 of Timber Green Section 5 to be known as Timber Green Section 5 replat number 1. The purposes of this proposed partial replat is to convert three lots into two lots. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. No objection from the HOA in the file, and the plat is submitted for Commissioner Court approval today under agenda item number 16C. Anybody here?
Amy,
yes.
I would like for you to move B2. It's actually Precinct 2,
yes.
Not Precinct 3.
Yes. I've got it. Consider the partial replat of Lot 49, Reserve C, Block 1, Westwood 3, to be known as Westwood 14-8 replat. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to replat Lot 49 and Reserve C, Block 12, Westwood 3, into three unrestricted reserves. No objections or concerns have been received. The HOA has not been found. The plat has been submitted to Commissioner's Court approval under Agenda Item 16B. And then the under B2, what Commissioner Nowak was referring to, is actually a proposed application for a partial replat of Reserve A Block 1, the Woodlands FM 2978 Commercial Tract, to be known as the Woodlands FM 2978 Commercial Tract Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create an unrestricted reserve. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The HOA has not been found, and the plat is submitted for Commissioner Court approval under Agenda Item 16D. Okay, and then also, Commissioner, you want me to take item B1?
Yes, B1.
Consider the and approve changing the name of Southern Crescent to Southern Crescent Court, the Woodlands Village of Gergrins Mill, Lake Woodlands East Shore, Section 1. Oh, we have someone here.
Yeah.
Speak into the mic.
There we go.
Thank you. My name is Rhonda Bone, B-O-N-E. The reason we're asking such a strange request, we know you guys cannot control the post office, okay?
Right.
We wish you could, but our street is Southern Crescent. The post office, their database has it as Southern Crest. Around the corner from us is Southern Coast. So we have three houses, they have 14. Guess where our mail goes? In their mailboxes. We have lost things for prolonged periods of time while these people have been out of town. We provided Commissioner Nowak's office with several documents that they requested, a letter of request, a petition requesting the name change was signed by all the homeowners on our street, and a second petition and attached email from all the homeowners with the same house numbers on Southern Coast Drive. There was a copy of the original plat, a letter of approval from the Montgomery County Emergency Communications District, and a letter from our Community Association Board, who unanimously said it was okay if we changed the street name. One of Commissioner Nowak's staff members suggested we change it to some other things that he thought would be better. We even ran those by the Howard Hughes ran them by their address people, and they would approve none of them. The only thing that they approved was a strange name that I did not write down here, but everybody told me no, because we have East Shore Drive and East Bay Boulevard, and they too get each other's mail. All we're trying to do is, if we put Crescent Court, the post office is forced to spell out Crescent. We're hoping they can tell Crescent from Coast. That's our mission. And I know you guys don't want to hear this. I'll make it very quick. We've lost concert tickets. We've lost federal tax documents for 3 weeks. We've lost packages for 6 weeks. The neighbors who had to leave, and they apologize, they had some furniture delivered to the other street and left on their front porch because nobody was home. The people on Southern Coast are nice, but they're getting tired of us, to be honest with you. This has been going on since 2012. Really quickly, I want to read what my next-door neighbor wrote. She was the first person who lived on Southern Crescent. Since 2012, my address has been confused with 31 Southern Coast. This resulted in trade-offs of mail between me and the gentleman that lived there. However, since he had a permanent home in San Francisco, I would have to wait weeks, sometimes months, to receive my mail. The most important piece of mail that was misdirected was my U.S. passport, which I desperately needed to coach my daughter at the Taekwondo World Championships in Mexico. The situation became so frustrating, I can't believe she did this, but she actually bought a second home in the same neighborhood with an uncompromised address to get to her mail. I feel this situation would have been and will be remedied with an address change to Southern Crescent Court. Right now, we have all of our mail that we know of, except for 1,000 bank checks. We don't know where they're at. Mr. Miller, who had to leave, he's emailing your office. That's my plea.
Ms. Bone, thank you. You did everything we asked you to do. I require a lot to change the name of a street because it's just it's a big, long process. You did everything we asked. I know Cody and Andy and Evan, you worked with everybody on the team. And we thank you for your patience. And I'm hoping the court will support us in this endeavor.
Your office has been incredible.
Thank you. You want to say that one more time? Thank you very much.
All right. Amy?
Under 15C, consider and approve to change the speed limits on all roads within Oakhurst development boundary to be 25 miles per hour, except for Mills Branch Drive, Bentwood Oaks Drive from US 59 Feeder Road to Rock Creek Drive and Rock Creek Drive, which are set at 30 miles per hour. Is anybody here to speak about that? Back to our plats. Consider the proposed application for a partial replat of lots 26 and 27, Block 1 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, Partial Replat Number 4. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to combine lines 26 and 27 to create a single residential lot. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The public hearing notice was mailed to the HOA. The plat is not ready and may be submitted by the county engineer for approval at a later date. Anybody here? Consider amending plat of a subdivision of 2.25680 acres to be an amending plat of Starbucks Coffee to be known as Starbucks Conroe Amending Plat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed replat is to correct Scrivener's errors of bearing and distance of north lot lines of unrestricted C and unrestricted reserve D. No objections or concerns have been received. The HOA is not found and the plat is not ready and may be submitted at a later date. Is anybody here to speak about that? Consider the partial replat of Sherwin Glen Section 1 to be known as Sherwin Glen Section 1 Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed replat is to add two restricted reserves and revise lots 19 through 44, Block 1, and lots 9 and 10, Block 2, due to added reserves. No objections or concerns have been received. No objection letter from the HOA is in the file. The plat is not ready and may be submitted at a future date. Is anybody here to speak about that? Consider the partial replat of Lot 13 and Block 3 of Peach Creek Plantation Section 3 to be known as Peach Creek Plantation Section 3 Replat Number 1. The purpose of this proposed replat is to create five lots into one block. We did receive an objection on March 29th. The county attorney's office received a phone call from a resident of Peach Creek Plantation Section 3 who lives within 200 feet of the proposed replat. He objects to his neighbor replatting to create five lots. He claims, according to deed restrictions, that this is not allowed. He was going to talk to the POA, but said he would be here. The notice was mailed to the HOA. The plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval today under item 16E. Is anybody here? You want to come see?
Five. Is this five or six?
Five. This is five. We've got one more after this. And then we're done. Yes, thank you.
If you'd state your name for the record. And
my name is Robert Segarri.
Okay.
And we own the land at the end of Duroc Court, 4226 Duroc. I'm the homeowner, along with my son, Ryan. He was here, and he left. He's on his way back. Anyway, Judge, I do have some paperwork I'd like to present to you.
Okay. You want to present it to us, to all of us? I mean, I'll take a look at it, but we're going to all need to see it. Thank you. Can somebody make a copy of this for us? Yeah, can we do that? Jamie, would you? Make it color. Okay. Here, whoa. Pin those four exhibits, sorry.
Oh, God.
And tonight is something.
I'm also a homeowner. I live on Duroc Court, too, 4218 Duroc Court.
Are you going to be speaking?
No, sir, not unless you have questions for me.
Welcome to our court.
Thank you.
This should just take a few minutes. She'll be back in a second. Okay. I would do a temporary recess, but by the time we do that, she'll have them already done.
Sorry. Judge, would you like to take the next public hearing first? And do the last one? Can we do the last public hearing, consider the partial replat?
Yeah, we
Of Lot 20, Block 2 of Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, to be known as Peach Creek Plantation, Section 1, partial replat number 3. The proposed purpose of this, or the purpose of the proposed replat, is to create two residential lots. No objections or concerns are, have been received prior to this public hearing. No objection letter from the POA is in the file. The plat is not ready and may be submitted at a future date. Is anybody here to speak about that one? Okay, so now we just have this one left.
All right, and then we've got the motions and the voting in just a second here.
Right.
Amy, can I bring up an issue on the back on the towing thing that was pointed out? Is it too late?
So we're in a public hearing. Have to reconvene Commissioner's Court prior to.
I think you could use a faster copy machine, Judge.
Pony up, man. Let's go.
Not in this budget year.
You funding that?
No, not in this budget year.
Can't get one of your commissioners to fund that for me. All right, here she goes.
You do it by hand?
Yes.
Thank you.
So for the clerk's purposes, we're back in item number 5.
Okay. So take us through this, if you would, please.
Okay. Number one, the request to subdivide the 10-acre lot was subsequently compromised the integrity of the original planned Peach Creek plantation area. The lots in Peach Creek are primarily 10 to 25-acre lots. Number two, the lots in Peach Creek that are 1 and 2 acre lots are primarily situated around the water areas, designated lakes in the Peach Creek area. The smaller lots were planned and originally sold as smaller acreage to maximize the lakefront. Everyone purchasing in that area was aware the lots were smaller than the rest of the plantation area. Only 4 properties in Section 1, 2, and 3 since inception have been granted the authority to subdivide, and that was in years 2010 to 2013 and nothing since. In the most part, the subdivided lots were divided into 2 5-acre lots. Again, limited activity to stay true to original integrity of the planned area. Number 4, the proposed to subdivide the 10-acre lots to 5 2-acre lots would have tremendous disadvantage to Dew Rock Court and connecting streets. A, significant amount of tree loss. B, 5 driveways would line Dew Rock Court instead of 1. That would add more congestion with 5 homes built in close proximity. To subdivide the 10-acre lot into 2-acre lots would distract greatly from the country atmosphere originally planned. Overall appearance would reflect more of the standard subdivision type atmosphere. Again, not in accordance to the planned community. The homeowner that wants to subdivide this property also lives in Peach Creek Plantation. He currently is living on 10 acres. I don't think that he would love his neighbors to subdivide their property and him have 5 2-acre homes right next to his 10 acres. So we strongly object to this proposal. Mike, you want to add anything?
We appreciate it very much.
Thank you very
much. Thank you for coming in and sharing that with us. Sure.
Morning, Judge. John McKinney in the county attorney's office was just going to clarify. Peach Creek Plantation, actually, we receive replats from them are related to the subdivision on a regular basis. Their HOA actually provides a letter of no objections to our office as part of the application process. They do have restrictive covenants, and they have a provision in their restrictions that authorizes the subdividing of lots subject to them meeting all Montgomery County requirements. And so we do get these on a regular basis. They are regularly approved. This HOA is aware of them and does provide these letters of no objection. So typically, I think the position our office has taken is once they reach a point where they have met all of the county requirements, it's almost an administrative duty at this point for the commissioner's court to approve those. Very, very, very few avenues would provide an opportunity for the court to deny a plat reapplication at this point because they have met all of the Montgomery County subdivision rules and regulations as well as the remainder of the statutory provisions. So I'm happy to answer any additional questions that the court may have, and I can meet with the gentleman further later to kind of show him the plats. If he has additional questions, I'm happy to answer those.
If that's the case, why do you have to have a public hearing then?
The public hearing is just a requirement of the statute.
And if it's basically a shall approve item,
once you get approval from the homeowner association.
And there are provisions where if it does impact a roadway or impacts a park, those are some avenues that require a little bit different notice as well as that the court can make it to take into consideration. But for the most part, once they meet all of the statutory requirements and our local requirements, the plat is submitted for approval and is...
Good job as always, Mr.
All right.
McKinney.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that. Mr. McKinney, you're awesome.
Okay, so you want to reconvene, Clerk?
Yes, we're going to go ahead and reconvene and take appropriate action.
So can
item,
we
if you walk us through the items.
Can we have a motion on 15B1 and 15C1?
I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Proceed.
Item 16A, consider and approve the final plat.
Move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 16B.
Wait, can we just not do them all at once?
You can do them all at once unless you want to.
We have approved A through E. We have a motion.
16A through E.
Move. We've already got a motion on A, so it'd be B through E.
Second.
We've already done one.
We've motioned and seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Amy, I have
all
one
right.
question on the towing.
Thank you.
Yes.
And Judge Commissioners, I don't know if it makes sense to you, but it was brought to my attention by Evan, who's watching, that if we allow the judge to put one person on the towing board, it would give us an odd number instead of having an even number.
Right, and this is an advisory board, so at best serving, yes. I mean, it'd be great. No. You can add as many people as you'd like.
Absolutely. I'll present somebody at our next meeting. All right, very good.
Thank you, Evan. Good.
Are there any other comments by any of our citizens as we move forward to completion? All right, if there are none, any miscellaneous items? If not...
Wait a minute.
Whoa. Who? Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
She was getting up.
Uh-oh.
You didn't give her time to stand up.
I look for this. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I'm Marilyn Kazmierski, Executive Director of Family Promise of Montgomery County, and I simply want to say thank you so much for putting our bid out for advertising. It's an exciting day for us, and I just personally want to say thank you. We're looking forward to working with all of you as collaborative partners. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your comments. All right. We have a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Whoa.
I wave. You should have stood up. No, I'm just kidding you, Billy. Come on up. We do have some. Go ahead. Some comments? Proceed.
Yeah, just quick.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I'm Billy Graff, Precinct 1, and I just wanted to say thank you to the court for all the work you guys are doing, and we do appreciate it as citizens. And I did want to just kind of make a comment on one conversation in regards to the budget that was brought up during the meeting today. I would like to just encourage each one of the members today to take seriously Commissioner Nowak's recommendation. I support what he had to say. I've run a multi-million-dollar business for many years, and budgeting is very important, and the messaging is very important, and I would really appreciate if we would go ahead and take seriously the needs of our community, the concerns of 2020, the discourse that is going on throughout our county. I do believe that We can make a statement as a court to the community, to the citizens of this county at this point. I do not think we need to wait. I do not believe you need mathematical numbers or concepts to make a philosophical budgetary promise to the citizens of this county. And so my request is that you consider the next time you gather to go ahead and make a blanket statement stating that you will not, regardless of what the appraisal district's numbers are or not, you will not raise the taxes of the county. At the end of the day, we all know how that works. Regardless of the appraisal value of my house, the five of you control how much I will pay in taxes. You understand the math. So all I'm asking that you do is that you stand firm and that you commit not to raise the taxes of the citizens of this county who have been devastated in 2020 due to COVID and other issues that took place. Because regardless, as long as you meet the statutory requirements that this county has required, everything else is a choice. And I believe the citizens of this county need some relief. They are recovering. And you have the opportunity to send a message now that you will promise not to, regardless of what happens, you will not choose to regard raising the taxes of this county on the property of the people who have been suffering and are in recovery. Because we all know that at the end of the day, the message that you have sent as of today by 3-2 vote, the real message that you're sending is that some on this court are willing to consider raising the taxes of the people of Montgomery County, because if that were not true, it would have been a 5-0 vote that you would not. So I'm going to ask that you do bring a motion up next time you meet, and that you bring that up for consideration publicly, and you send a message to the county, the residents of this county, that they matter more than anything else, and that you promise not to go beyond a tax rate that would cause any of our bills to go up. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. All right, we have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it.
Just in time for...